It's a special Sunday that every year we celebrate the goodness, the preciousness of human life. And we ask ourselves, as we should all year long, what is our responsibility as Christians to promote the sanctity of life in our society? Just before the service, I was standing back there and was greeted by probably the very youngest little attender in our church, little Elliot Barbish, who was just born 3 weeks ago, born to Kevin and Heather, and they're sitting back there, and I think little Elliot is with them. Is that right? And congratulations to you publicly. And I think this is their first time here after the birth of that beautiful little fellow. And I was reminded again of the preciousness of life as I looked at that little child. So much right there, made in the image of God. Well, since this is a special Sunday, we have a special speaker. Most of you know that one of the mission organizations that Stony Creek Church supports is the Crossroads Pregnancy Center in Auburn Hills. It's a great ministry that reaches out and provides all kinds of help to women that have become pregnant and are wondering what to do, and reaches out to them. I've served there myself on the board in times past, and we've done many things with them. It's a great organization, and we support them with our mission dollars. Well, today, we have invited the lady that came and spoke to us last year, and she was very well received. You guys really liked her. And so we thought, since she did such a great job, we would ask her to come back this year. She is the director of their SHARE program. I'll let her explain to you the details of things. Was that Elliot? No, I guess. And I'm sure I don't want to steal any of her thunder. And so, without any further introduction, let me introduce to you, and please give her a warm welcome, Evelyn von Sloten.
Good morning. Just a bit of a correction, it's Van Sloten. It's the Dutch touch. A little bit of Canadian mixed in. It's good to be back with you again today. Last year, a few of you had implied that you would like to get involved in the ministry. Maybe you'd like to get involved in the program that I run, working in the schools, both the private and the public school system, and bringing instruction to kids. And I never got any follow-up on it, so I thought I better come back and make sure you know about it again, so maybe you'll come forward. No, I'm kidding. It is great to be with you today. Today is marking a day or a month that we tend to set aside across the United States and in other countries, a time to honor the sanctity of life. And we are reminded, unfortunately, we need to be reminded that we need to have a protection for life in place, not only in our personal lives, in our political lives, but also in our work lives and in our spiritual lives. We are reminded of the value of life. We've just seen a beautiful visual of that. The way we live it, the way that others around us are living it, those who are yet to be born, that there is value there, not because of how special we are, but because we're created in the image of a mighty and an awesome Creator God. He values life and He values us. We're reminded again from Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So we are special. All mankind is to be valued, respected, held in high esteem because of God, not because of the newest hairstyle or a job or a car or a house or a community to live in, but because we're created in an image of an almighty and an awesome God. All human life is valuable because God has attached value to human lives. We've been reminded of Psalm 139 through the pictures, and the Bible reveals that God cares and calls people even before that they are born. Each life lost today through the tragedy of abortion is a unique creation made in God's image who may have blessed our society in an extraordinary way. In Psalm 139, the reminder is, for you, Lord, created my inmost being, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. So I want to take you back to 1973. We have come a long ways from 1973, not in a healthy way as far as it comes to protecting of life since that time. And we are reminded that in 1973, the government in this country legalized the taking of unborn lives through all 9 months of a woman's pregnancy. And that's a reminder that many of us forget. We think, well, it's just in the first trimester or whatever, and it's like we have legalized abortion, the taking of a life, through all 9 months. There were two court cases that came forward, Roe v. Wade and Doe versus Bolton. And as a result of those, we now have legalized abortion in all 50 states. And the most recent statistic for Michigan is from 2009. In that year, we committed 22,357 abortions. Abortion is legalized in two-thirds of the countries in the world. 55 million babies are aborted each year in the world. Since we started taking statistics in the United States, actually in Michigan, we have taken the lives of over 1 million little ones just in this state alone. And that's not even the total number, because the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta, Georgia, take statistics from all over the United States, but they're only required to give statistics for abortions that are done through what we call legal means. It doesn't even include the number of chemical abortions that have taken place. So we have to think about how in the world, and this is the number for the United States, 54 million lives have been taken since abortion was legalized in 1973. And we're seeing positive things happening in our government. In the last year, we've seen many pro-life bills passed. We are going in a really good direction. We're hopeful to elect another man who will bring the sanctity of life back into government. But there are things that we can do, but we have to go back and say, well, how did we get there? And we go back to Bob Dylan. Those of you who are my age or older might remember him. He wrote a lot of songs. I don't know where he stands, but he wrote a song called Gotta Serve Somebody. I'm not going to sing it to you. I promised my boss I will not sing. You don't want me to sing. It starts, and some of you can sing if you want. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed. You're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. And he goes on for a whole lot of verses, and the reminder each time is we have to serve somebody. So we have a choice to make. We either serve the God who created us and made us and is deserving of our worship and our praise in our lives, or we serve self. And the ones who serve self are the ones who have participated in the taking of millions of lives over the last 39 years. We always have a choice. And we know from the scriptures that the choices that we make come from one place within each one of us, and that place is the heart. And we read in Mark 7, verses 21 through 23, "For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." And that has led to this. This map of the United States has 18 states in total that are blacked out. The population of those states is equal to the 54 million lives that have been taken since abortion was legalized in 1973. I think this visual helps us to grasp the incredible number of people that are gone, dead, robbed of their God-given constitutional rights to life and liberty. And I don't know how the most so-called religious nation on the planet can allow such an unspeakable horror. We have places around us that are opening up new abortion centers. In Auburn Hills, in the backyard of Crossroads, Planned Parenthood is going to be opening the largest abortion clinic in the state of Michigan. And it was approved this month that there was a lawsuit that went on to try and prevent them from opening. And they were approved from the courts this month that there are no other legal things that can stop them from opening their doors. So when we have this going in our backyard, we have to think, well, what can we do? And part of what we do is think about the way that we are living our lives. And are we pro-life in our lives? Are we living in such a way that we're showing that we value life, or do we speak up when we have an opportunity? I was in Ohio last night. My daughter's on a volleyball team there, and, well, she's from here, but we were playing there. And I had an opportunity over dinner to just talk to the parents and share what I was doing this morning, and it gave me a foot in the door to talk about God, who is the creator. So it's not just we're a pro-life people. It really comes down to, what do we believe about the God who creates and gives life physically and eternally? Well, at Crossroads, we are in Auburn Hills. We are attempting to do what we can as a mission organization in the community and for all the communities that are surrounding us. In the last year, we had a lot of girls coming in and women who came in for pregnancy tests. Of all the tests, almost 300, 190 of them were positive. Women who were very abortion-minded came through. We did over about 215 ultrasounds. Of that, and every woman who comes in for an ultrasound, we call them abortion vulnerable, because not everybody gets an ultrasound, but if we sense that they are really unsure about what they're going to respond to if that pregnancy test come back positive, we want them to see a picture of their baby and understand that that is a life that they are carrying. Of all the women last year that came through, five chose to have an abortion still, and several miscarriages took place. But of the 190 that were positive, we have, and the year isn't done from when they might have been pregnant, we know that there were well over 100 lives that were born through that. So we are so grateful that God allowed us to be used that way. We do a lot of counseling at the center. It's weird that we have men coming in as well, but we do. And we do counseling appointments. We actually do a lot of marriage counseling for couples that might be coming through, or premarital counseling. We do counseling with teens who are coming in and having difficulties in their relationships. We also do counseling with every person who walks through the door. And the wonderful thing about that is that when they come to Crossroads, they're not just coming to get a free pregnancy test or a free ultrasound or to find out if it's a boy or a girl. Those are great things, or maybe a bag of diapers. They're getting the gospel. Nobody comes through our doors without hearing about God and about his son Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished for us on the cross. They are prayed for before they leave. We meet when we sense that someone is very abortion vulnerable. We meet a staff in the back room to pray over that young lady and for the decisions and the choices that are before us, before her. And we are just so honored that we have that opportunity to be in a missional field in that way. We do a lot of material assistance. The women that come through the door are in a place where they haven't planned for a pregnancy, and so they're not usually in a place where they can afford the needs of a new little one. You have a new little one here. Congratulations, I don't see you, but it's expensive to have a baby. And last year we gave out approximately 45,000 diapers, a lot more wipes. We're able to provide car seats and strollers and the material things that moms need. We have a lot of classes for people. We do childbirth classes, the techniques of how to actually go through the breathing techniques and everything. We have a young mom and child support group, and 149 ladies came through that last year. And then the part that I shared a lot with you about last year is our SHARE program, sexual health and relationship education, which we're doing in the schools. We had 726 presentations and reached 7,800 students in the last school year, which is fairly amazing. The school districts that have opened their doors to us, and I don't think you can read those because they're really kind of dark. They are Romeo, Rochester, Troy, Pontiac, Birmingham, Utica, Avondale, Lake Orion, and Clarkston. And we have two different systems that we go into. We have middle school programs that we do, and we introduce them to a lot of subjects. We have a three-day program. One is on healthy relationships, because that's the core of a lot of the issues that are going on. We talk about diseases. We talk about the importance of goals. We really talk a lot about the media and the impact. They say by the time a child is 18 years of age today, they've witnessed 80,000 murders. And that's either in video games or on movies, TV, perhaps they're hearing it in music. But when we have such a high exposure in a culture of death, it tends to slant and maybe desensitize us as to the value and the respect of life. And so we bring that forward into the classrooms. We are in a lot of school districts, and we'll just click through that. What I really want you to hear from this one is that since we were here last year, we've had two schools now in Utica that have called us and said, hey, can you come here? I'm hearing from other teachers that you do this. And we're teaching in 7th and 9th grade at Shelby Junior High, and we're teaching in 9th grade at Davis, and I think we'll be teaching 7th grade this semester as well. So we are really excited about what God is doing in your community, and I'm hoping that more schools will hear about it and also open their doors to us. Our program is in the high schools. We have a three-day program we do in the high schools. We talk about pregnancy, and I love this because we show them from conception to birth what a baby looks like. And nobody leaves our classrooms without knowing that that is a life. It's not a blob of tissue, it's a life. And I will tell you, I was in a school district close to our center. I had 8 pregnant girls between the 3 classes that we taught there. It's a very, very high number of high school kids. One of them had just found out she was pregnant, and she came to the teacher the next day and said, I found out I was pregnant last night. I went and got a pregnancy test, and my boyfriend is flipping out. He wants me to abort the baby. My parents don't want me to have the baby. I don't know what to do. Last night, all I could think about were those pictures that that lady showed us of that baby. And it's not a nothing. It's a baby already now, because we know it's not rocket science. We know today from conception that is a life. The hair color, the facial features, the eye color, everything about that child is already determined. It is a life. And we show them little models of actual size from conception, 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks. And they see that this is a human being. And she came back the next day, and the teacher wrote me and said, she's gonna keep the baby because of your presentation. So that was wonderful. We are in a lot of the high schools around. We're actually in 15 high schools, 20 middle schools, and we are really thrilled with how God is continuing to open doors to this message. It actually puts me in an absolute state of awe, because when I started, we had 4 schools, and there wasn't a lot of openness. And today, we know we have a problem, and this is a way to deal with it, with education. And we can't talk about God's word in the schools, but we can certainly share that God values life. And if you hear our presentations, you will hear the scriptures undermining everything that we say and do. And so it's pretty exciting. So what do we encourage people to do? How do you help? And we start with prayer, because prayer is the foundation of everything that we do. Every life that's spared, every client is prayed for, every student is prayed for, every teacher is prayed for. We would encourage you to come and join us at one of the fundraisers. I have sign-up sheets at the back if you want to get on our mailing list so that you can hear about them. We have on Thursday, July the 19th, we'll be meeting at the Village Club for a Celebrating Life event in the summer. We have a walk for life in the fall from the center. We will have a golf outing at Indian Wood Golf and Country Club in May. For all of you golfers, you'll know that that's the same place the U.S. Senior Open will be held this year. So that's kind of exciting. And coming up in March, March the 2nd and March the 3rd, we are going to be hosting our biggest fundraiser of the year at the Royal Park Hotel. And we are very excited about that. And you can go to our website to get more information about that. We are also considering opening up a resale store called Crossroads Closet. We need funds, as does everybody. I understand you're in a building project, you're paying off a mortgage here as well. And we're trying to figure out how to sustain the ministry and the doors that God is opening to us with the funds that we have. So we would like to open up a closet to help us with that. Abby Johnson, many of you may have heard of her. She wrote the book Unplanned. In 2001, she started working for Planned Parenthood. She was a clinical director. She wanted to help women in crisis, thought they were doing that. And through the years of being there, she became the director of one of the fourth largest abortion clinics in the United States. In 2009, she was asked to help in an ultrasound-guided abortion, realized what they were doing, and said, I can't do this. You're taking life, and this is awful. And she's now in our camp, and she'll be our speaker at the banquet. So we're very excited about that. The Crossroads Closet, we're looking at a space that's available in the same strip mall that we're currently in. And if you go to the next slide, you'll see where our building currently is, and it's just a couple doors down. We are hoping that that closet will sustain the ministry within a year. And of course, we need funds. So if anyone is interested in looking at supporting that, I would love to talk to you afterwards. We would love to have you come to our fundraisers. We'd love to show you the center. We'd love to have you involved in praying and continuing to pray for the work that we do. They mentioned there's baby bottles at the back. All the money from these goes to the mom and baby care programs that we offer, diapers, wipes, all that kind of stuff. We really appreciate you having us. We appreciate your desire to live life. We are really thrilled when we think about the value of life and what God is doing, because we have an opportunity to be a messenger of life. And when we are really pro-life, we see it in how we view the poor people. How do we treat them? How do we view people with disabilities or the elderly or those who can't care for themselves? How do we treat our parents or our in-laws? Difficult people, there's a lot of those. People of different faith or people who are immoral, people who we disagree with, whether it's politically, ideology, or theologically. All of them are precious to God, and they need to be precious to us. So the way that we talk to and about others says something about we're really pro-life. It's not just a label we wear, it's how we live our lives. So we want to praise God, who is the giver, not just of our physical lives, but for our eternal life, through the sacrifice that he has given in his son for each one of us. Thank you. I'm sorry.
No, you did great. You did great. You could have kept talking. Well, Evelyn, thank you very much for that stirring message. And I hope that we'll take action as a result of hearing this message, that we'll grab a baby bottle after the service. And what you do with that, if, in case you don't know, is you just fill it up with change over the next few weeks, and then we'll be collecting them. And all the money that you put in there, just, you know, spare change that you might have in your pocket or in your tray and your by the side of your door or in your car, that adds up. And you just fill that up, turn it in, and it goes to the Crossroads Center to help them in this ministry. Maybe you would like to help out at the center. Come up and talk with Evelyn after the service. And then, of course, we all need to be praying. And we need to vote pro-life. I talked about this last week. I talk about it frequently here. This is something important. It is not simply a political issue, folks. This is a moral issue. And I would not give you a dime for any candidate or any politician who cannot value human life. and won't protect the most vulnerable among us. And so we need to stand for that. It's important. You know, I was thinking about the sanctity of human life and the preciousness of every life, and I thought of this passage in Psalm 49, and maybe you can help me. Well, you can help me when we come to the yellow print, where the psalm writer says, "No one can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for them. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough so that they should live on forever and not see decay." In other words, there's nothing you can give that's as valuable as a human life. And if you were somehow trying to ransom a life, what could you give that would equal that? And of course, this becomes a problem for our salvation, does it not, ladies and gentlemen? Because we need to be ransomed. We have all committed sin, all of us, even the very best of us. And we all stand condemned before God. And so if God wants to save us, how can we ever be ransomed? We can't ever pay for our own sins. And this, of course, brings us to that very, very precious fact of the incarnation, of God becoming man in Jesus Christ. Because you see, folks, only man should pay the penalty for his sin, but only God could pay the penalty for man's sin. And so what is the solution? The solution is the God-man, God incarnate, Jesus Christ, who has an infinitely valuable life and yet became true man. So man and God is paying the price for our sins on the cross. Isn't that wonderful? And it shows us how much God loves us and how much he cares for every single human life, because every life, every person was represented in Jesus Christ on the cross. No matter what you've done, any sin you've ever committed, it was all paid for, or ever will commit, was all paid for on the cross of Jesus Christ to offer you salvation. That whoever believes on the Son of God will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what we're celebrating in the Lord's Supper. And so I'm going to ask the elders if they would come and assist, and we're going to have some music. And let's prepare ourselves for this morning's Lord's Supper celebration. If you're here today and you're not a born-again Christian, and maybe you don't even know what that means, you've never put your trust in Jesus to save you and redeem you, well, today's an opportunity for you to become one by simply recognizing that you're a condemned sinner, confessing that to God, and turning away from your sin and embracing Jesus Christ the Lord, who died for your sins and rose from the dead. If you've never put your trust in Christ, I invite you to do so today, right here and right now. If you are a believer, Scripture tells us to examine our hearts before we partake of the bread and of the cup. And so we're going to take a moment to do that right now. Examine your heart and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what you need to confess and repent of. Let's take that moment of silence.